God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, good evening, everyone. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, and all the different places that I go on the internet to look at homiletic ideas, most of the time you will see something like people will say that this is one of the Sundays that's most difficult to preach on because the Holy Trinity is such a mystery that it's difficult to talk about. But I actually like talking about the Holy Trinity because I think it's a formula for our happiness. And I like to be happy. I think of myself as one of the happiest priests that I know. And so I'd like to give you that formula for happiness. But before I do so, I do want to just tell you a story about St. Augustine that is linked to the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Of course, St. Augustine was an early church bishop, and one day he sat down to try to, in his mind, comprehend and understand all the complexities about the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And he was struggling to understand how it was possible that we could believe that God is completely one in nature, but have three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So one in unity, three in persons. And so he was trying to understand this mystery. Of course, you may have heard lots of other stories trying to explain the Trinity as Father and Son, and the spiration of their love begets the Holy Spirit. You may have heard about St. Patrick speak about the Trinity like a clover, and just as the clover is one plant, it has three different leaves. But the Trinity is how God has revealed himself to us through the Scriptures. The early church fathers looked at stories from the Old Testament. For example, the reading that you heard just a moment ago from Moses. When Moses spoke with God and it says that the cloud descended upon the mountain, every time that glory cloud would descend, it was often interpreted by the early church fathers as the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when it says the Lord stood with Moses, they believed that there was a pre-manifestation of the Lord, of Jesus, there standing before him, not in an incarnated body, but being presented to Moses in a body, foreshadowing his incarnation that would come. And so the early church fathers, whenever they read the Old Testament, this is how they looked at it. When they heard the voice of God speak, that was God the Father, when he appeared to them, like to Abraham with the three angels, was actually a manifestation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we see the Holy Spirit appear throughout then the Old Testament. And we hear even St. Paul in his letter today, when he is greeting different Christian communities, he speaks about the love of God the Father, the God the Son, and the Holy Spirit being with all of the people. And so the Trinity has been with the church for a long time. Wasn't always referred to as the Trinity by the early church, but eventually became known as the Trinity. Of course, we have the mandate to go out and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So God has chosen to reveal himself as one God, three distinct persons. And so as St. Augustine was contemplating this mystery, he fell asleep. And in his sleep, he had a dream that he was walking on the beach, and there he saw a boy, a little boy, digging a hole in the sand. And as he observed this young boy, he saw that the boy took a bucket to the ocean and filled the bucket full of water and poured it into his hole that he had dug. And very quickly the water disappeared, And then the boy went back to the ocean, filled up his bucket, and came back to pour the water back into the hole, and again it disappeared. And he went back to the ocean. So St. Augustine thought, I'm going to watch this and see how long this boy will continue to do that. Well, half an hour later, the little boy was still doing this. So finally he approaches the young boy and says, little lad, what are you doing? And he says, well, isn't it obvious? I'm emptying the ocean into this hole. And St. Augustine said, well, don't you realize that that's impossible? And the child says, just as impossible as it is for a man to understand the complexity, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, at which point the boy vanishes and he wakes up from his dream. And so St. Augustine was content to say that there are lots of things that we know and understand about God, but there will always be an element of mystery to God because he is God and we are not. So he was content to say that the Trinity will always remain an element of mystery. And so I like to look at the mystery as a key to our happiness. And the way that I think about that is that when you look at things and what their purpose is in life, I think you can ask, what would make something happy? So I like to go into the school and talk to the children. And, first grade, they're very excited for me to come in the classroom, and they all want to answer the questions as soon as I ask them. And I'll say to them something like, hey, who can tell me how I can make my truck happy? And all the kids will answer the question. Usually the boys have a set of answers that are different from the girls, right? The boys will be like, get it dirty, take it through the mud. Does it have four-wheel drive? And I was like, yes, it does. Well, yeah, take it through the mud. And then another boy will say, take it out on the highway and open it up. I was like, what do you mean? Go fast. So the boys are all about the function. And the girls will usually say things like, take it to the car wash and polish it and make it look really nice. Another girl will say, put oil or gas and feed it like a baby bottle, So the girls are very nurturing and the boys are very functional. But what they're saying is that what would make my truck happy, if it could have feelings, right, has to do with the things that it was made for. It was made to go off-road. It was made to drive fast. It was made to look good. Most people like to buy a car because they like the way it looks. It was made to run gas and use oil. So all those things are like, okay, if you know what the purpose of something is, then you can talk about how to make it happy, right? But if I say, well, how do I make my truck unhappy? Crash it in a tree. Park it and never drive it, Put water in the gas tank instead of gas. All these things that it wasn't made for that actually stop it from doing what it was designed to do. And so if you take that first grade logic, what would make something happy is doing what it was designed or made to do, and apply it to the human person, it's interesting how the answer comes out. And so if I ask you, what would make you happy? Probably people would say, oh, lots of money. If I had a really good job or I got a promotion, or if I was like a super athlete, I don't know the new guys. I know Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, if I was one of these great athletes, if she was my girlfriend or if he was my boyfriend, we think of all these things that are external to us that would make us happy. But if we follow that logic of that kindergarten or that first grade classroom, then we have to ask the question, what were we made for? Who designed us? What's our design? And if you've been to Sunday school, at least the beginning classes, you know very early on that God made you in his own image and his own likeness. And so if you want to know what your true nature is, how God made you, he made you like himself. He made you in his own image and likeness. And then he revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so I think that has something to do with our happiness. If we do what God created us to do, if we live out our purpose, it will lead us to happiness. Now, there are certain things that I can say that are unique to every one of you. You know, like God called me to be a priest, and so I think my happiness is being the best priest that I can be. If God called you to be a husband or a wife, I think your happiness will be found in being the best husband and the best wife that you can be, the best mother, the best father, that all those things will lead to your happiness. And some of those things are your unique calling. Like if you see somebody on the street and God says, I want you to go over there and help that person, and you do that, it's going to lead to your happiness. But there are certain things that I can say about God that applies to everybody. The Ten Commandments, it's not just for one person to follow. It's not just for me or for you to follow, but the Ten Commandments are for us all to follow. And so is the understanding of the Trinity, the nature of God, applies to us all. And so that's what I want to look at as a formula for happiness. Now we can expand that, and you can say, okay, what is God calling me to do? Is he calling me to do this or that? Following what God has called you to do will lead you to happiness. But I want to look at the general term of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and how that could make you happy. And so if God revealed himself to us as Father, what does that mean about our happiness? So when I think of God the Father, we could probably say lots of things about God the Father, right? That he's a creator, he creates things, that he's love. But when I think about God the Father, now you may have a different idea in your mind, but when I think of God the Father, I think of generosity. He created this huge universe. We still can't comprehend how big this universe is, right? And then he like gives it to us for us to be the stewards of all creation. And so I think of God the Father, I think of generosity, that we heard in the gospel today that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He let his son die on the cross to save us. And so I think of a generous, generous God. And so that word generosity then is part of our nature because we were made in God's image and likeness. And so you want to be happy? Be generous. Be generous to your family. Be generous to your friends. Be generous to your neighbor. When we practice generosity, we're acting in accordance with our real nature. You ever notice that when you are thinking about other people, that it somehow brings you an internal joy? I think of parents when Christmas comes around, right? What's the favorite part for the parents? To watch their children open up the presents and see how excited they are. And, you know, the parents love to be generous to their children. Have you ever experienced where somebody gives you a gift and says, don't open it till I get there, right? Because they want to see your reaction to their generosity. Or maybe you've said that to somebody else. One of the movies that comes to my mind when I think about this is The Christmas Carol. Do you remember Ebenezer Scrooge? He is completely stingy, and he doesn't give anything to anyone. He won't even put enough coal in the fireplace or his furnace to heat his shop, and his workers have to dress up in heavy coats while they're at work. He's so stingy. And is he happy? At the beginning of the movie, he's miserable, right? He's got all this money stacked up, but he won't share any of it with anybody, and he's completely miserable. What happens towards the end of the movie? He starts giving his money away generously, and he can't stop giggling. He's so happy as he becomes generous. And so if you want to be miserable, then think only about yourself. Live in your own little bubble. You're the most important person in the world, and you're kind of like have you ever heard of that story about how the Africans would capture monkeys? They would put a box, and inside the box they would put a banana, and the monkey would put his hand in. When he clenches the banana, he can't pull his fist out, and the hunter comes and grabs him. All he has to do is let go, but he won't. He's greedy, and so he gets captured. So that's like us sometimes. When we think only about ourselves, we get trapped in that, and we lose the opportunity for us to be generous and experience the joy of being generous. And so I think of God the Father, I think of generosity. When I think of Jesus, when I think of God's only begotten Son, I mean, there are many things that we can say about Jesus, but for me, what comes to my mind is forgiveness. That Jesus came to forgive us our sins, to save what was lost, and to reconcile us to God. I think of that as like Jesus, that's Jesus' mission, to reconcile us to God. And so I think of happiness is found in our ability to forgive one another. And so a lot of times people have a hard time with forgiveness. I said, well, don't forgive because you think they deserve it. Forgive because you need to be set free. And forgive because you deserve it. Forgive because that's your true nature, that God created you in his own image and likeness. And so God the Son forgives and reconciles. And so forgive because Jesus calls you to forgive. You know, could you imagine if somebody cut you off on the 51 and you were talking about it all day, you couldn't forgive that person? You know what? This guy cut me off. And you're at the coffee station at work, at, you know, 20 minutes later, you're still talking about it, and you're sending an email. Somebody cut me off on the highway today. I can't believe that they did that. And you'll be miserable, wouldn't you? But when you forgive and let those things go behind you, it leads to your happiness. The happiest people that I know forgive quickly and easily. And so if you want to be miserable, if you like being miserable, then don't forgive anybody anything they've ever done and always bring it up. You'll be miserable. But if you want to be happy, then learn to forgive from your heart and to let those things be in the past. And so I think that's part of our formula for being happy, is to look at Jesus and how he forgives and our willingness to forgive our brother and sister. And when I think of the Holy Spirit, again, we can say lots of things about the Holy Spirit, but I think of, you know, last week, that first Pentecost for the disciples, and how it was so unifying that all these people, different nations, were hearing their language spoken. And so there was this gift of tongues that the apostles were speaking and everyone was able to understand them. And so I think of the Holy Spirit as bringing us together in unity of community. And so I think that happiness comes when we belong to a family, when we belong to a tribe or a clan, or where we feel that we belong in a church or a group. And so there's something to be said about being a part of a community. And so, you know, when I think of my own experience, I remember once when I was a seminarian, I got assigned once to a priest who was very depressed. And I'm glad to say that after I met him, later he was able to be diagnosed with depression and got help. But what did he do? He closed the blinds of the house. He unplugged the phone and he just sat by himself and he was completely depressed. He didn't have community. And so I think that we need community because that's how God made us. We're made in God's image and likeness. God himself is a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so if you want to be happy, you have to be willing to allow yourself to become, I suppose, vulnerable by opening yourself up to a community, by giving and allowing other people to give to you. So there's a give and take when you're part of a community, part of a family. And so when you're part of a family, it means spending time with your family. One of the things I think that's so dangerous is all of these cell phones where the children are no longer spending time in community with the family. They're so distracted. And so we need that community. It's important. And so I think that's part of our happiness, is belonging to a community. And so today, as we celebrate this feast of the Holy Trinity, God has revealed himself to us as three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one in being. And when we think about that, we can think about, you know what, we are made in that image and likeness of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And what we can say about God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we can say that that's part of my nature too, because that's how God made me, and becomes a formula for our own happiness. Amen? Together, let us now stand as we profess our faith.